Welcome back to Table Talk. Pull your chair back up to the table. Galatians chapter 5, folks. Falling into the ditches of either legalism or license. Both are slavery. So the Christian lives the simul life. Same time sinner, same time saint, or justified by God for the sake of Jesus Christ. And so this is who we are. It's the war that goes on continually between the new man and the old Adam in us.
Yep. Thanks be to God, it goes on.
Yep. It shouldn't surprise us. It's like if you feel pain, you know you're alive, you know?
And this is one of the most misunderstood parts of the small catechism, fourth part on baptism. What does such baptizing with water indicate?
Yep.
It indicates that the old Adam should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity. And in Romans 6:4 is quoted as teaching this, and Paul teaches this here in Galatians 5 as well.
The old Adam doesn't go down easily. He doesn't want to die.
That's right. And that's the only thing you can do to it. And of course, God does this through his word. The Spirit does this through the word of law that actually kills the old Adam.
You mentioned before the break guilt and how the Holy Spirit is working through that guilt to make us realize, hey, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. Something's broken in my relationship with God.
Yeah.
The conviction of the Holy Spirit for the sake of saving sinners.
Yeah. This is why the church then is going to be opposed more and more and more. I'm talking about the church when the church is faithful. And of course, the big temptation for the church these days is to not be faithful and to not be the church. So here we go again. You know, with all the moral issues that are being pushed on us, and really I should say the immoral issues,
right,
and the things that are not pleasing to God and that brazenly oppose God's word and will, whether it's, you know, talking about gender issues, marriage issues, life issues. Well, God's word says, look, abortion is not God-pleasing. God's word says that life is God-pleasing. And see, this is the thing. It's talking about that issue for just a moment. How does God create life? See, in this, we can't even get to that basic point anymore in our culture.
Right.
I mean, that's totally denied. But the Christian church must stand in the public square and say, God creates life. And he doesn't create life by just snapping his fingers. No, he actually uses creatures to create his creatures. Now, that then takes us into the other issues, because the creatures that God creates through creatures is a man and a woman, a male and a female. And it's only by way of that relationship that life is created by God. No other relationship can do this.
And it's not by holding hands. It's by having sexual intercourse. And that leads then to other issues too. What is sexual intercourse for? And for whom is it for?
That's right. And I'm gonna be brazen. Well, I'm bold. Let me be bold, politely bold. A man has a certain body part that goes somewhere, and it fits somewhere in the female anatomy, and vice versa. That's the way God designed it, so that he, through his creatures, not only creates life, but sustains it. And that takes us into another realm of all these naughty things that are going on, because we are not told that a little Johnny can have two mommies and it's just perfectly fine and not have a daddy. Well, you know what we're realizing? If you're honest, that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
Well, and to confuse it even more, little Johnny can have the said member and think he's not Johnny, but Johanna.
Yeah, you know, Robin.
I mean, I hope people aren't just thinking what nuts these two guys are, but rather are following what we're saying here, how this all ties together, and really how we've gotten so far down in the ditch that some of the basic questions of life can't even be set on the table and simply proclaimed in the public square.
And therefore, then, the church is losing her nerve. And here's the point. This is where I was going with this, is that the church fails to be the church when she preaches that is not God-pleasing, and thus producing guilt, confessing sin, all for the sake of doing what? So that the person will be willing to hear a word of forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we're tempted to not even go to that part, namely, preach a word of law to show them that they're a sinner and that they're guilty of sin. And when you do that, well, you can't preach Jesus either as Savior.
Well, if I can bring up, you know, one of our favorite topics here, this is enthusiasm. There are some in the church who have a better word than the Lord. And let me apply it to what you've just said. Rather than simply speaking a word of God which produces guilt, we have better words. We're gonna speak words that don't produce guilt in the sinner. Enthusiasm.
Yeah, so we affirm them in their sin.
Sure.
That's why churches
now
call themselves...
It's done, they think, for the sake of helping and benefiting the hearer. But they won't let God be God.
That's
and
right.
Speak and let God's words be spoken.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's by way of Galatians. Paul continues in Galatians as we do our overview. He talks about fruit of the Spirit. Notice it's singular. It's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. So faith in Christ Jesus naturally gives birth to fruit of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
or good works.
Which are for the sake of the neighbor, not for self. Now, one might benefit from these things through their neighbor. I always like how God places people around us to care for us, too.
Well, you'll notice how our Lord Jesus Christ lives by faith, the perfect human being. He is the head of a new humanity who lives faithfully, whereas Adam did not. And so, therefore, he lives by faith in God's word. And then Jesus then lives a life of love for the sake of all of us. And you see, Jesus, when he redeems us, and when he creates us as new creatures, namely believers, F-A-I-T-H, then the good use that he has for us is works of love, to take care of people. So we're a Christ, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Christ who atones for sin, but a Christ in the sense of following big C Christ's example of love for the sake of others. That's why Paul then says in Romans 12, offer your bodies as a living.
So the baptismal life, the battle which rages in our lives, the devil deceives and says, you know, what a failure you are, Scott. You're a failure. You're not a Christian. You don't belong to Christ. Otherwise, you wouldn't do those things.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have such struggles. No, Paul's saying just the opposite. This is the struggle going on, the struggle between the spirit and the flesh. And it takes place in me.
That's right.
And in you.
Most Christians understand this very, very clearly. And so now hopefully they've realized by listening to this, what we've been talking about is, yeah, they're making progress in their Christian life when they're battling their sinful nature and not doing what floats their boats. So, you know, folks, don't get too discouraged about your preacher when he doesn't give you permission to sin. You know, this is really important because a lot of people, well, I'm generalizing again. You know me. I generalize to make points. So here I go again. Most people come to the pastor wanting the pastor to give them permission to do what they want so that they can justify themselves and say, hey, Porath said I could do this.
And you've probably been in that situation, and you know exactly what they're trying to do, and you simply won't play along.
Oh, yeah. And it's not just piddly things. These are things that are really life, major life issues that they come to the pastor for, to sin. They want permission to sin, like get a divorce.
And they are, to put it mildly, they are frustrated that you won't play the game,
yeah.
That you won't give them that permission.
Some people are. Others are testing you. I wonder if God uses some of these people to test us. You know, like there's, you know, like in businesses, you hire a new guy to be a supervisor, and then the owner of the company sends some flunky to test him to see if he really knows what he's doing. I think if God sometimes sends people like this to us to see if we'll pass the test.
Wow.
He did that once with my father confessor, Ken Corby. You were not at Emmanuel Eagle yet, and I was serving the vacancy, and Ken Corby was staying at our house one time. This is a doctor of the church, and so he goes to church with me at Emmanuel Eagle, the early service. I'm getting vested. He knocks on the office door where I'm getting vested, hands folded, and he says, Pastor, may I receive communion today? And of course, here he is, a doctor of the church. So I just automatically said, well, of course you can.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that isn't the answer he wanted. He was testing me to see what kind of pastor I was, what kind of pastoral care I'd give.
Mm-hmm.
And so after everything was done and, you know, the 10:30 service was done at Trinity Murdoch and we sat down and had lunch, he had a conversation with me about that. He says, how come you didn't give me any pastoral care at Eagle? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you should have asked me some diagnostic questions like, am I baptized? Do I believe that I'm a sinner? Do I believe that Jesus died for me? And then the most important question with regard to communion is, what do you expect to receive today in the Lord's Supper?
Who are you and what do you want?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, you know, God used Corby that day to test me, and I failed the test. But nonetheless, he had mercy on me afterwards and taught me.
You know, just to continue with that then, sometimes, you know, you'll have people that will come in and sit down and talk with you, and you can really tell that it's a struggle going on. Sometimes they're there, very bold. The flesh is winning the battle, if you will, and they just want you to give permission. And other times you can really see that they want permission, and yet, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's that struggle.
So you can see it going back and forth.
And you also have something going on that they need to hear an external authoritative word from the one who's been called and put there by the Lord to speak it.
Yeah, thanks be to God they don't sit at home in their closet wavering back and forth.
Yeah, and the Spirit is at work in them, leading them to this, so that they will hear this external word from the Lord. And then the new man, the believer, will say, thank you, Pastor. That's what I needed to hear today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and so for those of you who are pastors out there, to speak the appropriate word of God to those in the midst of the battle, the word of law, which does not give permission to sin, and the word of gospel, which soothes and resurrects the dead man to new life in Christ. Well, folks, thank you for joining us for a table talk. Hope you'll join us again next week.